I want to let you know, you may already, I'm sure you do if you've been here for a while, that you're mentioned in the prayers of our elders every time that they meet, specifically individuals that we are aware of and then the congregation as a whole. And for some time now, our elders have been working on a project that basically refers to the health of our congregation. What is the health of the River Chase congregation, and what can we do to help improve that? And what can we do to make that better? For that reason, William Otey's lesson, without being prompted, without being asked, just simply because he knows the nature of the body of Christ and he's been around enough Christians and himself to realize and to know the needs. He gave a lesson Wednesday night that was hitting the nail on the head far more than he would ever have realized. If you were not here, he talked about what he's talking about in his series, and he'll be speaking again this Wednesday night, is the ways in which Jesus grew. And if Jesus needed to grow in those ways, then we also most assuredly need to grow in those ways. And what he was talking about Wednesday night was growing spiritually. And he talked from 1 Peter about how that's done. He also mentioned that there was another passage that did the same thing, that told us how it is or what we need to be about in order to grow spiritually and in order to grow in Christ. And he mentioned that was 2 Peter chapter 1. Well, I want us to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, probably in a little different way than Melvin was going to do it, not as well as Melvin would do it, but I want us to look at it in this way, and who knows, it may have been exactly the way Melvin was going to do it. I don't know that, but if you have opportunity, go to our website and listen to his lecture or to his talk from last Wednesday night, and then make all plans to be here to hear him this coming Wednesday night. So if you open your Bibles with me, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let me say this as we start. And it's a reminder that we need to have often. How would a spiritual person open this book? And how would a spiritual person listen? An individual who is striving to be like Christ, and now God's word is being opened, what would they be doing? How attentive would they be in the listening and the hearing of God's word? Introduction-wise, let's start with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those, to all of us, to those who through the righteousness of our God and the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. How precious was the faith of Peter? How secure was the faith of Peter? And we have every opportunity to receive a faith just like his, simply by putting trust in Jesus Christ. And he's writing to all Christians who have received a faith as precious as the one that we have received, talking about the apostles. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. The more we come to know God, the more we come to know what he has done, what he's promised, what he has in store for us, the more we come to know Jesus and all that he has done for us, the greater and greater our peace and our grace that comes to us. Then Peter will explain how these things that we have are made possible. And he says this in verse 3. God's divine power, the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead, the same power that he used to create from nothing everything that we see around us, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. God's divine power has given us everything we need to live like Him, to be godly, to be like God. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. He's given us His promises, so we can be participants of God's divine nature, being His children, being the very brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, being the very sons and daughters of God. And we can live like God and be godly. And in doing so, we escape the corruption that's in the world. Well, we know the world is corrupt. But what is the heart of this corruption that's in the world? Our own personal desires. So we put away our own personal desires and we live for God. We stop living for what we want and we live for what God wants. And then in verse 5, he tells us what God has done. Here's where we're going to look at this a little differently. The Apostle Paul, when he writes his second letter to the church at Corinth, in chapter 11 and verse 2, he says this to the church at Corinth. I betrothed you to one husband. I engaged you to one husband, so that you might be presented to him as a pure virgin. And that one that we are betrothed to is Jesus Christ. What we're going to look at in these verses is our marriage relationship to Jesus Christ. And it is parallel, if you are married, to your marriage relationship. And if you're not married, but you hope one day to be married, it's parallel to what you will need to know and understand in that marriage. So I want us to take a look at this from the standpoint of our marriage to Jesus Christ and what it's like. So here, Paul, this is what he says starting in verse 5. For this very reason, because we're going to be partakers of the divine nature, because we are the very children of God, because we need to grow in our likeness of God. For this very reason, make every effort, give all diligence, do it quickly, do it earnestly, and do it completely. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. To add to your faith. We start with faith. You remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the things essential for salvation. We talked about the things essential for coming to Jesus Christ. There are 6 of them. We normally talk about 5, but there are 6 of them. They are hearing God's word, believing what God has said, in particular that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They are hearing God's word and believing it. And then in believing God's word, we see the change that needs to take place in us, and it brings about repentance. We acknowledge that faith that we have in Jesus Christ, and that brings about confession. We want to be a part of Christ, and we want the blessings that He offers to us, so we are baptized into Christ. And then there is the process of regeneration brought about by God's will, by the words of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, where we are regenerated into a life that imitates and strives to become like Christ. In other words, we're on this path of growing to be like God. We're on this path of growing and increasing in our godliness. That whole idea of coming to faith is our marriage, where we wed ourselves to Jesus Christ. This is our wedding ceremony when we become Christians. This is when we marry Jesus, and he is going to be our focus. And so just like in a marriage, there are things that must follow. And there are things that must follow in our marriage to Jesus Christ, and they will continue for the rest of our lives. And because we are married to Jesus Christ, we are to add or increase to that faith goodness, moral excellence. In other words, you were married, live like it. You are married, now be what you've promised to be. And so in our marriage to Jesus Christ, we are to be devoted to him, period. We are to be devoted to him above all others, because we promised to be. We are to be devoted to him above ourselves, because we promised to be. We went through a burial signifying that we were dying to ourselves and that we would live for him for the rest of our lives. We are married to him. And in this marriage to our husband, we add to our faith, our trust in him, our acknowledgement of him, our moral excellence. We belong to no other but to him. And we will live like it. And we will demonstrate that we belong to him. And he alone is the one who controls our life. And add to that goodness, knowledge. We need to come to know him. We need to communicate. How many times do you say to your spouse, or does your spouse say to you, "You're not listening to me"? Well, that ought to get our attention. Not listening to me simply means you don't care what I think. Not listening to me simply means you don't care what I want. You don't care what I need. And here the Bible will tell us in this marriage relationship with Jesus, we're devoted to him, but now we add to that, we increase in that our knowledge of him. Our understanding of what he wants, what he desires, his will for us. And we do that by listening to him. We're not going to find out what he wants by listening to our own thoughts. We're not going to find out what he wants by not ever allowing him to speak to us. We open his word and we read it. We listen to it for the purpose of coming to know him. So that we can know what he wants and how he would like for us to be. And we listen to him and engage in this communication with him and express our hearts to him. And we listen even to the things that we find hard to listen to. Even to the things that we find almost impossible to understand. But this is our husband. This is the one my life is devoted to. And so I will struggle and keep trying and keep asking until even those hard things become comprehensible. And I begin to see what he's talking about and where he's coming from, because I'm married to him and I want to know him and I want to know what he wants. And so I grow in this as I constantly strive to come to understand him better. And I add to that self-control. This is not about me. This is about us. This is not about me and what I want. This is about us and my relationship with him. And in essence, what I'm doing is bringing myself under his control. Not under my control, but under his control. Because that's what I promised. I'm dying to myself. And I'm living for him. And so in this marriage, like all marriages, it cannot be about you doing what I want. It's got to be about us. And us being more important than me. And so in this marriage with Jesus, it's us. And I want to be like Him. And I strive to be under His control. And add to that self-control, perseverance. I'll be constant in this. I will be following Him, not just once in a while, but constantly. He will be in my life every day. Not just certain days of the week. Not just when I think about it, or not just when I feel in a spiritual mood. But it will be constant. Because I'm married to Him. And because I'm married to Him, I'll be doing what God wants, even when I don't want to do it. I'll be doing what God wants, even when it's the most difficult thing I can imagine doing. I'll be doing what God wants. Because I'm married to Him. And He is my husband. And I will add to this godliness. Becoming like Him. I change to become like Him. I can't think of one without the other. And when people see me, hopefully it will get to the point. They can't think of me and why I do what I do without thinking of Jesus. The likeness. Striving to become just like Him. And being exactly what He would have me to be. When you marry somebody, you marry a family. I was told that before I got married. I learned that after I got married. So you love the family. When you're married to Jesus, you love His family. We call the family His church. And not only do you just love them so that every now and then you'll send them gifts, you take part in the family. You are a part of the family. And you serve in the family. And you serve those that belong to the family. And you do your part in the family. Because you are a part of that family. And so you help to grow the family. Because you're in love with your husband. And when you're in love with your husband, you're in love with his family. And so brotherly kindness is there. Not only brotherly kindness, love in general. Because you love his friends. You love the ones he loves. You love the ones that he wants. You love the ones that he gave his life for. Because you're striving to be like him. And so this brotherly kindness love expands to the love of all people. The love of all of those that Jesus died for. And so in this marriage, don't ever forget you're married. Don't ever forget to be faithful to your husband. Don't ever forget to live a life to please our Lord, our husband, our Christ. Don't forget your promise. Don't forget your commitment. Don't forget what you were promising. What you were swearing to when you went into that water and were buried in that water and arose from that water to walk in a new way of living. Because that's when you were married. That's who you are. Married to Jesus Christ. You made promises. You made a commitment. Keep the promise. And keep the commitment. And here's the reward. If you do this, if you live your life like this, married to Christ, here's what happens. It starts in verse 8 and it goes through verse 11. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you're not going to have them completely, but you have them and you're growing in them constantly. You're not satisfied with where you've attained and you're going to stop now. But you want to become like this more and more every day. For if you have these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. You will be a fruitful branch of Jesus Christ. You will bear fruit if these things are yours and are increasing. You will not be ineffective nor unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. And they've forgotten that they've been cleansed from their past sins. They've forgotten what they promised. They've forgotten their marriage. They've forgotten their covenant. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm, make sure of your calling and your election. If you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are the promises. You will never stumble if you do these things. And you will be guaranteed an entrance into the kingdom of heaven if you're doing these things. And these things are growing. Are you married to Christ? Would you like to be? If you would like to put on Christ in baptism, or if you need to come home to Christ, we offer you His invitation as together we stand and as we sing.